Welcome to Passive Aggressive Conversations, a collaboration between The Lake Radio and Passive Aggressive, where a couple of passive aggressive journalists sit down for a cozy conversation program with the leading lights of the Danish music scene. I'm one of your hosts, Megan Holt, and with me is Ivna Franek.
Hi.
And today we have the absolute pleasure of talking to Aria Litt Schütze about their work, their new album Limerence, and everything that's going on in their world and projects. So yeah. Welcome, Aria.
Thank you.
So we had the pleasure of being at your concert on Saturday night.
That's right.
Yeah, where you performed the entirety of your new record.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Like maybe, yeah, almost all of it.
Yeah. What did you cut?
Some of the collaboratory tracks.
Because
couldn't have Holger singing with me. And,
yeah. Okay. Well, it didn't seem like you were missing things from the performance. No, I guess held together coherently, and that was a great experience. Like really made I think a lot of like the emotional weight of the album land. So I guess if we could just kick things off, I think by asking you what were your intentions behind this record and like what were you trying to get across with it?
Yeah. So this album I started out when I moved to Berlin 2 years ago, I think, when I graduated from the conservatory in Copenhagen. And then I were going through a heartbreak and then I was like, maybe I should do my first like heartbreak album. So that sparked what the album was going to be about. And then I wrote one piece and was in doubt of whether it should be an album or just like one song. But then it started to unfold with thought there would be more, the single. And then it turned into a heartbreak album, but a very like collaborative one.
Right.
Because I realized that for me, a heartbreak is very much about like actually getting close to many people. You're losing one in your life, or at least it's changing its form or how you're relating to each other. But at the same time, you get the opportunity to become closer to like friends and family and new people in your life. And so I also thought that the music should kind of portray that. And that was why it became my most like collaboratory album so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also fun because it reframes the title, right? Because it's called Limerence, which is that, you know, that feeling of completely intoxicated in loveness. Mm-hmm. But that could also happen with other people in your life and another kind of excitement, I guess.
Yeah.
That's like really fascinating.
Yeah.
Should we play that track you mentioned?
Yeah, we should play it.
Yeah. I thought there would be more. We can talk about it afterwards.
You give me cold when you can give me the heat. You give me half when you can fulfill my needs. You give me nothing I can lean on to. You give me nothing I can lean on to. Is it too much to ask for more? Is it too much to ask for more?
I mean, hard relate.
I was going to ask about, like, what were some of the musical influences for the record? I just remember now when we played it, actually, at the beginning of the song, it kind of reminded me of Björk and Vulnicula phase. Oh, nice. But also, like, the whole record has this kind of, feels like there's a bit of, like, R&B influence, but also in some ambient way, which is also...
Yeah.
Seems like a thing right now, with also like Kalela's latest record or stuff like that. So I don't know, like what were you listening to?
Yeah, at that point, I was listening to a lot of like heartbreak albums actually. Mm. And like to mention one of them, I think like FKA Twix and both the Magdalene, but also the Capri songs was a big influence. I was very inspired at that time by, and still are, by like... the texture of the voice and like it's my most like whispering album so far, because I got really into like just turning up the microphone and then sing really quietly, which FKA Twix does so well. So that was maybe one of the main influences or inspirations. And then also like Tim Hager, I think.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you can hear it in the song, but...
Yeah, but the whole ambient vibe and the textures.
Yeah. I love the Konoye album.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Especially with the string instruments and, like, I'm very inspired by that. Yeah.
And I like how you speak about it, like, you know, that's my heartbreak album and these are some other heartbreak albums, like... this type of, you know, like it's a category.
Yeah.
And I just feel like, was it easier for you to work on that when you decided like, oh yeah, like this is going to be my heartbreak album, like, you know?
Yeah.
Like you kind of step out of this personal experience and like treat it as a, I don't know if that makes sense.
There is so much good music about like heartbreak and like the heart. And also, like, it was kind of a different way of approaching or theme-wise compared to, like, before I've worked with, for example, Tides or A Dream Diary or Friendship or... But it has all, like, kind of related to where I was at that time. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much, like, inspired by my own life and my friend's life. And then I kind of... I needed to do it in a way.
Yeah,
because that was what... I sung about and then thought there would be more, was kind of, I often work with like deciding to have a theme. I like make a lot of songs and then I'm kind of figuring out what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And then thought there would be more was kind of like a prototype track of what I wanted to like explore. Because I saw this film called Boyhood. Have you seen it?
No, but I know of it. It's the Richard Linklater movie, right?
Yeah, it's like they recorded it for like more than 10 years, I think. And it's about like a boy who grew up.
Yeah.
And the mother, when he moves out, says that a very like touching scene where she's like, I thought there would be more. And I was like, I could really relate to that feeling, like when you're shifting form in a way in your life and you're like, was that just it? Can I let it go now? But I have to, because I have to give room for new experiences.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I thought that was very like, it touched me really much, that scene.
Yeah, because it's also that thing of like, whether or not you can let it go, it is gone.
Exactly.
So it's like, can you get comfortable with that reality, right? Like it's, which is also very much the heartbreak thing as well. And then the heartbreak of, like, it does refer to the existence of love, right? Yeah. Like it was there, it was real.
Yeah.
I'm also liking this idea of like thinking of Tim Hecker as heartbreak music because it's like so apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Like that kind of intensity is part of the experience and you often think about it in like, terms of like kind of Anthropocene or like, you know, big sort of concept things like this, but actually in the experience of heartbreak it's like the end of the world.
And also like the drama, I think like a thing I really like in making music is the drama. like to emphasize feelings and also one of my friends told me about this album that it was very like dramatic or, I don't know the right word for it, but I was like, yeah, but it has to be.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's the best source material.
But like, I mean, because it is too much. Like, that's also the feeling you get when you have the heartbreak is like you're, you feel silly because of how too much it feels like.
Exactly.
And that you have to catch that.
Yeah.
Mm. Otherwise, it's just, you go, hey, you'll move on, life will be, no, but it doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
And that's, key. So the too muchness, I think, is the point.
But maybe like in a way you can also enjoy that, you know.
Yeah, there's a catharsis to it. Like just like embrace it, be fully in that space. Yeah.
Or in best case, use it to make a good record.
Yeah, catch the energy and take it on. You mentioned before like the previous, like, so on your previous records, how long has the project been going for, Alto Aria?
Alto Aria, I think 4 years. Mm. I released Tides in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's been prodigious, like an album a year, like two albums in 2022.
Yeah.
It's like, so yeah, you're just caught by this project right now. Like what's, what was the idea behind developing that, like Alto Aria in general?
What was it? I played in different bands before I started Alto Aria, and then I really wanted to try to express myself by producing more, and then I started out making my own songs, and then I got really caught by the computer. I was like, wow, this is so much fun. And also like, I think I really found out how much I like making music while trying to learn a DAW. Mm. And like also I think of myself as a collector in a way, like a carrier bag of sound. Mm-hmm. Mm. So I was really inspired by arranging and collecting all these sounds in the DAW and singing with them and stretching them and just recording a lot and putting it into the DAW or finding samples or...
I should say for any listeners not aware, a DAW is a DAW, a digital audio workstation.
Yeah.
For a second I was like, is it a DAW? No, okay. Yeah, it's because it becomes a different space in which to experience the sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I feel like I could cut you off a bit.
No, it's good.
But the carrier bag idea was also behind one of the compilations
by
your label, RISM.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess this is something that's like
been
brewing for a long time, or like this idea is...
Exactly.
Yeah,
I think like I have some inspirations, which is like in a way penetrating all my work in a way. Yeah.
But that also, like, I guess, made sense with the label that you started with Metz.
Yeah.
Metz, we get a full name on the radio.
Metz Krobuge.
There we go.
Having a project under the name Skau.
El Skau.
No, just Skau.
Just Skau.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like it seems like the whole label idea as well is kind of in a way based on this like communal effort and like being connected and, you know, also trying to build a community, not just being like, okay, we're just putting out these records by these people, but like there seem to be a lot of collaborations, compilations.
Yeah, I think like... we are having a lot of fun with like doing compilations and want to do it more. Because it just makes sense to kind of make albums with a lot of people and like trying to build a community. And we are mostly like based in Copenhagen now also because I moved back and now we are both based here.
Mm.
And most of the artists are based in Copenhagen too. But just like, building a community together and like discussing. When we do a compilation, we often send a text or like have this idea we want to like have as a starting point for the composers to use in their music. And then also like having discussions with the artists about like, for example, the Hypersea compilation we did recently with Astrida Naimani's The Hydrofeminism text, and it just made some very good discussions about like what does the text actually mean and how can it be used, and the music came out so different. Like some made ambient tracks, some made a field recording, some like a almost club track, and
yeah, but I feel like that one, and also the one that was like loosely based on Ursula Le Guin's essay, like they're both kind of very coherent for compilations. It doesn't feel like, you know, everyone just sending in whatever they were working on. It really feels like a group effort.
Yeah.
And do you think that comes out of like having this kind of like engaged sort of conversational way of like, you know, sitting with like the same text or like having something in common and then actually talking through what's perplexing about it or what's so there's actually some sort of like you're guiding each other, kind of like teaching along the way in a sense. It's really cool. And also like the name of the label itself, right, is it's like Deleuze and Guattari.
Exactly. So rhizome is also it's a root structure without a center. Like ginger or turmeric is a rhizome, and we both, me and Mess, read some of the
A Thousand Plateaus.
And was very like drawn towards that name and was like, it sounds really beautiful, this without a sender, and also like seeing community in that way. Like also we talked about this Brian Eno idea of seniors instead of genius. And like I very much believe that we do it together.
Yeah.
So it's not like one person who is like creating the scene. It's more like we are many people creating the scene together.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, it did. Yeah. I mean, like it's like the only way anything happens is like, like you know someone who can like fill in like a skill, like whether it's like promoting or like bass playing or something. Like you need, you know, that can change the arrangement of an entire thing.
But also like feeding off of each other.
Yeah.
And like influencing each other.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's important for the growth of the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's also the nice thing about like the whole like rhizome concept. Also like actual rhizomes is you can just break off any part of it and you could plant it and it would grow a new thing from itself. Like there's no bit which is too small to like, become something new, which I guess also then ties back into the whole breakup record or heartbreak record is like rupture and repair is actually a part of a process of growth and like accepting that or coming to terms with it. Do you think it actually was a record of coming to terms with it, or do you think it's as you said, like I guess changing your position in the world in some way? Or
I feel like I had the working title for all the broken hearts which refused to be broken. So it was very much this idea of like not being a half person, because we have been taught this idea about like when you lose someone then you become half. But I don't believe that is true. So more seeing it as like I refuse to be broken. I have a heartbreak and I'm losing someone or it's shifting form, but I'm still a full human being and
yeah.
I guess speaking of the collaboration and the community theme, I was wondering if we could maybe play another track, like the one which you have with, is it a cover of a Polly song or?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a demo I brought today because I wanted to show what I'm working on now. And I'm working on a cover / remix / collaborative album where I invite people or friends or musicians I am inspired by to send their stems, and then I'll recreate that into a new piece. And Polly sent me the stems for her song I Give Up, and then this is what I've made so far.
And I guess we should mention that Polly is also on Rhizome.
Polly is also on Rhizome.
Thank you.
So it's like, so you're kind of working on kind of like a remixing sort of like style, or like, are you also singing in this, or what's the...
Yeah, I'm also
singing. Yeah, both.
There are some pieces by Polly, and then I'm singing the, on it now also.
Oh, nice. Okay, so yeah, so it's like a full kind of jam sort of thing, like, but on a door.
Yeah.
Nice. So how do you, like, I, because I'm not familiar with Polly's work at all.
No.
So I'm wondering, like, how do you...
Is it from her record?
Yeah, it's from her record called Invitation, which...
That was more like a pop record, or...
Yeah, and I Give Up is actually a choir piece on the record. Very beautiful one. And then I, took some of the stems and put it into a grid and... read the lyrics, and I was like, this is actually about not following him anymore. Like, I give up on following him, and I was like, it has to have it could also have a beat of like walking away from following anyone. Or, it was really like fun making.
It's like to riff on your friend's ideas as well,
or
like, so it's almost like it kind of becomes a conversation, I guess, between the two of you, but like via music making, in some way,
But apart from like working with DAWs and making stuff on the computer, like, what else is your musical background, like instruments and stuff?
So the first instrument I was taught was piano. And then my sister was so much better than me, so I shifted to guitar. And then I played guitar for many years, and then found out that I could sing while playing and make songs that way. And then I became really interested in like singing. And then I created some bands and went studying philosophy, actually, which was kind of like another thing, but was singing very much in that period. And then I applied for the conservatory as a singer, actually.
As a singer,
So, I'm very interested in the voice, and also like I sing on other people's track, and
I think. Yeah, you featured on Croatian Amour.
Yeah, exactly. Or,
That's what, you really are doing a project where you're using your entire education in different ways. Then, like, you've got the philosophy stuff going on, and you have the, and the music training. It's all coming together. It's so rare that it gets to happen.
But also in an unpretentious way.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes.
I'm glad.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's difficult to be pretentious and make a record that's like emotionally too much. Because it's like, that's just, it's not cool. And that, or it risks not being cool, right? It risks that. And that was also, one of the, the features about like the record, which is really nice, is it does play in that space of like tension and risk quite a lot. Just the intensity of some of the bass drops in it. And then I think like structurally how you have set that against like these very sharp kind of dissonant, sometimes string samples. I think there's like some broken glass in there at some point as well. I don't know. Am I right?
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very like into like broken in the elements and also like creaks. Mm. Like.
Yeah, because it has that flavor about it where like it's almost like the thing that happens with limerence is that you're enjoying yourself, but you also know it's too much.
Yeah.
You also know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Like you know there's something up.
Yeah.
You know that you're losing, your body is also sending you warning signs.
Yeah.
As well as it's sending you that kind of like throbbing base of desire at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, but it's also going, yeah, you're not okay here.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a couple of tracks that feel a bit more like club ready. So, or like more dynamics. Mm. I was wondering how that plays into the whole topic of the album, or like...
Like the...
The one with the...
With Holger?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like, yeah, both Holger and also Angels in the Valley with Laura Cecilia is kind of the more clubby tracks. Mm. And I feel like going clubbing has been part of my... healing process in a breakup, also because I moved to Berlin and there are really good clubs and it was fun, but also like getting to know new people and having like new perspectives on this subject or new perspective about life in general. But I feel especially the one with Holger is kind of a scene where you are going to a club to kind of cry or forget or meet new people or...
Yeah. I remember actually once with when a friend was going through a shitty heartbreak that I went out with them almost every day, just, you know.
Yeah.
that's a part of the process.
But dancing can be a good way of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love going for a dance.
What's that feeling of like that feeling of friendship? Like I had a birthday party not long ago and there was a moment during the night when I was dancing with two friends who I've only kind of met in the last year, but we were just in my living room, my tiny apartment, dancing to Blondie, and just like it felt so ecstatic.
Yeah,
it felt very kind of like, oh, this is actually really really valuable.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I guess it's a moment of kind of returning to yourself a little bit and like not being so intoxicated, but then at the same time maybe getting high on something else.
Yeah.
Maybe just always getting high on different things.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, with the... So like you're considering like now that your Berlin time is over.
I think like I'm not done with Berlin yet.
Okay.
I'll have my place in Copenhagen.
It would be a very strong and arrogant statement. Like, I think I'm done with Berlin. Yeah. Berlin is...
I'm done with Berlin. But I would like my base to be here, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now my base has been in Berlin and I was traveling back and forth also because Rhizome is a very like a physical event also.
Yeah.
We do a lot of like events and concerts and stuff like that. So I had to be back and forth all the time.
Mm.
And I feel like it makes more sense for me to be here and like collaborate from here, but then go and play concerts in Berlin and see my friends there when I visit and stuff like that.
But do you feel like also Copenhagen scene or like, you know, also being from here, maybe it does feel easier in a way to like to work on your career?
Yeah, I think so. And also I want to build from here, if that makes sense. Like I want to, if there's something, I talked to some friends about it, like if there's something I'm missing here, then I want to create it from here.
Yeah, exactly.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, and for sure.
Being part of like creating the dream of Copenhagen, which I'm dreaming of.
Yeah, because with places like Berlin, like these hubs, like it's great, like you can get a lot out of it, but then it's maybe also difficult to get into like, okay, I want to build something for this.
Yeah.
Because what this is so fluid and, you know, unstable.
But I must say I'm really excited about like being back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've only been here for a week. I'm very excited.
So let's check back in on that.
Next week. See how it's going. I was wondering if, though, if you, does anything come to mind as like something that you think's missing here that you'd like to build?
I feel like it's not missing, but I want to, like, it's a very rhizomatic idea actually, mm-hmm. but just building on the community. I feel like it's not missing, it's there already, and people are collaborating a lot, but I just want to be part of that. Mm. I feel like I have always been, and I'm a team player. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself doing something by myself. I have a solo project, but it's very collaborative, and I feel like we are doing it together.
Yeah.
So I just... Yeah, it's not missing, but I want to be part of that.
Yeah, you want to like build it up, make it stronger and make it...
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's kind of also like what the vibe is in like this entire project that we're adventuring on here, right? Because it's like for like a decade, these two like projects of The Lake and Passive Aggressive have just been next to each other, not interacting. Well, I mean, knowing each other, but not like making a thing happen. So,
It was time.
And also, like, I think folding in like artists into the discussion with like the critics as well, like getting some kind of like, some sort of community gesture.
Yeah.
That seems to be so identified. Yeah.
Being like, no, we're not the bad guys.
I'm not the bad guy. You sometimes are maybe the bad guy. That's like a different
role.
We have different relationships to criticism. So you sent us also a track of like someone who inspires you.
It's because like, but the track I chose is maybe not that representative of that, but I'm very inspired by the phone and sounds of the phone right now.
Right. Mm.
And maybe it's because I've been living in Berlin and like having a lot of phone calls with my family and friends, but the phone and the sounds of the phone has just become very emotional for me.
Yeah.
So it's not becoming an album or anything, but I'm just investigating like what the phone means and all these sounds relating to the phone. And then I found, our friend showed me this album by DJ Lustboy and Taurus called The Flash. Mm. And it's just a very beautiful record. I hear it. Mm. Almost too much. But like they have a lot of sounds of like unanswered phone calls on it, and it becomes almost a void where you are in a way together, but also like not together and wanting some deep connection. Mm-hmm. And I can really relate to that. So I chose to bring that track called Into the Sun.
Yeah, it was also kind of, as you were talking, just reminding me a lot about like also the Capri Songs record. It's just like so much of that is like samples of like voice notes you send a friend who's having a messy breakup. Mm. And it's like, this is the vehicle. Like, I have a friend in all who always jokes like, I love my phone, all my friends are there. So this is, Taurus and DJ Lost Boy, Enter the Sun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
could definitely hear some inspirations in this. Yeah. Those drops are so, yeah. Like the drops. I mean, like, but what you've done is you've added a bit of spice of like pain to it. And then of course, like a lyrical like structure around it. But like, yeah, there's a different tension in yours because it has the drops and this kind of nice pretty pad thing going on. But like in yours, it's like much sharper. Kind of like there's another tension going, but the nature of those drops, they're kind of distorted. Little Tim Heckery kind of quality. Like there's some, and then it gets both like kind of tending towards beautiful, but you going on this kind of like extra route of like, but what if it also hurt a lot? And then the beauty's in that.
Yeah, it's a good trick.
Yeah, but otherwise they're working with like phone kind of sounds or?
Yeah, some of the other tracks, I just found this so beautiful, so I wanted to show it to you. But some of the other tracks are having a lot of like phone, unanswered phone calls and like speaking voices and
But then their other project from DJ Lost Boy is Malibu, right? That's more like ambient.
Should check it out. Okay.
So, like, what made you study philosophy?
Why?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question you have to ask all philosophy students.
So, I think I've always been interested in like theory and reading, and then I was like, maybe philosophy is something for me. But to be honest, it was not.
No. At KU.
Yeah. I still love reading theory and I'm very inspired by it, but I just didn't found it as my like it was not the right place for me. And also like the texts we read was at that time not that many critique points, but one of them was that we didn't critique enough. Feels like so I felt like it was coming home when I started studying music. Actually, I thought that was interesting, and we also read some theoretical texts at the conservatory, and so and else I just do it at home.
I mean, like, as someone who works in an institution that claims to be a university, I can definitely say that there's a very particular quality to lots of education that happens in Danish universities.
Yeah.
It's a bit pious. It's a bit like know your place a lot of the time, which I think is, as you say, you don't get to do the critique.
Yeah.
But if you're making music, you're constantly doing critique because you constantly go, well, that sucked. Let's do that. Let's try that again. Or like, that's kind of what I was after, but not quite. Or like, there's and then a different kind of embodiment as well, I guess. Mm. So, I mean, I can definitely sympathize with that experience you're recounting.
Yeah.
But, do you feel like studying at the conservatory was important, like not just because of the education you get, but was it also relevant in terms of building a network or meeting new people?
Yeah, definitely.
Because I feel like a lot of people did
go
there. Yeah,
some of my best friends are from the conservatory. So I think it was very important also to have like 3 years where you could, many of my records are produced in that period where I could just like create and create and create. That's very rare to have the opportunity and privilege to do that. So I feel like I learned a lot in that period, both from the school, from the from my friends, but also just like having this privileged period of being able to do music every day.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Like a 3-year residency. It should be more of that.
It's also, it's like, it's because I studied like music technology when I was like an undergraduate. But in the UK, where there's lots more like kind of combination of say practical and theoretical education in a sort of like, it's a, you know, you get a regular degree, you go to a regular university, you do that, you can do, whereas here it's like so divided off, like it's in the conservatory and that's a, you know, it's a different ministry that's in charge of that, for example. And I kind of I often think that the like the theoretical and the practical, like they don't talk across so well, though it sounds like you had an experience where like you actually had space to like indulge both of those, but maybe also because you already came in with that interest, like that you wanted to contextualize it and you wanted to play with concepts and see what they would help you do.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. Yeah. I'm just analyzing your life. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like for me, it's very exciting to find like new inspiration sources. Right now, I'm reading a book by Mindy Soy called The Feminist. No, sorry. The Cyber Feminist Index.
Right.
Do you know Mindy Soy?
No.
Oh, we should check her out. So she has collected. It's a really big book, but I was at a talk with her in Berlin with a friend, and yeah, she collected all these articles, notes on cyberfeminism. Mm. So I'm just like reading it, but it's filled with hyperlinks. It's very much like based on like the internet.
Yeah.
So I don't read it from like first page to the last, but more like, this sounds interesting. Mm. Then I'll go here and.
Yeah,
it's really an inspiring design too. Mm. Yeah,
yeah, that's like a few years ago, Passive Aggressive published the Danish translation of the Xenofeminist Manifesto.
Yeah,
and we did a great event where we got Diane Bauer, who unfortunately has since passed away, to come and talk about that. And it's a really like fascinating way. Also, it's a lot of music people are really into like. That particular group as well, and like so a few of them are musicians, so it's an interesting, and actually the guy that translated it was a sound scholar. This is a very strange combination of things, but yeah, I also like like these resource books where it's just like, yeah, you just jump around and you find the connections of your own because you get to be a rhizome on top of it, I guess. Mm. Yeah, so like, I mean, yeah, so anything stand out when you're reading that though, like anything kind of like is there a little part from the index that you think you'd like to share, like something that excited you?
I was thinking about bringing the book, but I didn't do it. I mean, it's today.
Oh, but yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want you to read from it. But like,
I can read something.
Also, like, if you had, you know, if you don't sell anyone, though, they won't know. We can say the book's here. Like,
clue. What stands out for me right now is not a specific text.
Right.
Actually, it's more like. The way of building a book in that way, and like also how emotionally the internet is for me, and like communication with people through the internet, and like having an online, offline life. And I feel like these questions are very interesting for me right now because I've been living very much also on the internet and on my phone, and what does it mean?
Yeah. Mm. Also, like, it kind of means you, it's hard to be in a place, I guess, in some way, if you have this connection back all the time. Mm. Like, I'm just thinking now that, like, my dad grew up in Canada when he moved to the UK in the 70s. Like, it's just not, like, able to keep in touch with people. Mm. Like, it's you're forced to be in a space and, like, you know, be in that community in a different way where, like, yeah, you can be between spaces, which is wonderful, but also... Yeah, you maybe are a little bit at a distance because you're always in that connected space. And I wonder if does that like relate to your experience of being in Berlin, or is it?
Yeah, so I think like I'm very not sure how I feel about how I'm connecting to the online life, actually. Yeah. But I just think it's very interesting. Mm. Like, but I think I've never talked so much on the phone as the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And that's maybe why it now has memories. And I feel like connected emotionally to my phone because I had so many nice talks on the phone while I was there with my friends and family here. And like, yeah.
It's a different kind of focus as well. Like,
bring back talking on the phone.
Yeah. I've been doing this. I've been bringing back talking. Like, yesterday I caught up with a friend who I knew like, 10, 15 years ago, who like she now lives in Philadelphia in the US, like she's from the US, but like we hadn't talked in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because like we just could fall into like a sort of rhythm and like, oh, that's great.
Yeah. I love talking on the phone, but I cannot do video calls.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know why, but I feel like there you see the person and then it becomes really clear that you're not with them in a way.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, also like they're kind of surveilling you as well. Like, because you see your own face, so you see what you look like to them, and then you feel like them, like, judging what you're up to, which is, like, not what happens in a regular conversation, because I have no idea what you're seeing right now, which I fully enjoy. Like, but yeah, if you're seeing yourself and then you're, like, aware that if, yeah, like, they're in some sort of awkward angle because of how cameras are, it's, yeah, it's a half thought through technology.
Yeah.
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 Was it difficult also, like, you know, co-running the label from another city?
I think actually it was doable. Because we, under COVID, got used to, like, doing video calls. But I prefer having, like, physical meetings. I'm having a meeting later with Mess and Martin Michel, which we are releasing this spring. And we can actually meet physical at my place and have a coffee. It's going to be nice. Yeah.
So much better.
Yeah, it's
going to
be nice.
Say hi to Martin. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to set up this other, this Frank Ocean cover that you have sent us. So, is there anything you'd like to tell us about that?
So it was, it's not going to be on the album because I'm not sure I can clear the rights for that. but
this might be an exclusive.
Yeah. But it was when I was trying out if I could actually do a cover. Mm. So it was very a fun process of, like, trying to make a cover of a song I loved.
I think you should try and clear the rights for that.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's worth the energy. Yeah.
Does anyone have a contact to Frank Ocean? I can borrow.
I feel like, listeners to this podcast, get in touch with Aria, and then if you have a contact for the lawyers of Frank Ocean, so we can clear the rights to make it able for them to release those really nice wet drops. Because that was actually kind of an overwhelming one, because that's still a heartbreak kind of.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, also with the whisper singing and the, it's like, Yeah, it's a lot of pain going on there, right?
Yeah, but the lyrics are so good. Like, inhale, inhale. Like, both the inhale and then also inhale, which is heaven.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. It's so good. Yeah.
Yeah, also the idea of, like, sucking something in, it's just completely destroying. Mm. But also, there's an ecstasy in it, and it's, kind of death drive stuff, I guess, which is what relationships are, really.
But yeah, with this project of covers and remixes that you mentioned, are you aiming to make it into an album or
I hope so.
Sort of release? Yeah.
I hope so. I'm contacting people at the moment, or artists at the moment, and I've done a cover by Polly and one by Scout.
Mm.
Now I'm trying to get some more stems.
Mm.
Yeah. Because I think, like, it's really funny to make a remix or cover with the stems as a starting point, but then changing it into something completely different, maybe not having the stems in the end, but just having it as like a starting creative starting point.
Yeah, and I also love the idea of also just, you know, covering other people from the scene stuff, not necessarily something famous, because, you know, when you think of cover, you usually think of covering popular tracks.
Yeah, but I feel like it's very much in the rhizomatic and community thinking I have already to make a cover album, and like honoring the work of my friends and the ones in the community.
Yeah, because then it also feels more like a two-way exchange, you know, like also giving them something to
Right, there's a bunch of like emo bands in like the 2000s who do like releases where they would like be two bands and they'd just do a cover of each other's song. That'd be like the some sort of like kind of tap on the shoulder, like, if you like us, like them, and like kind of this sort of signal of like, hey, this is, we also have tastes and we want to share it in some way.
Yeah, but rework is really interesting. Mm. Also, I also done a rework of my first single called Your Eyes, and I made a on the, not this record, but the one before, where I did a rework of Your Eyes called Your Eyes 2. And yeah, it was really fun trying to create another kind of scene for that lyric material.
It's also like it has that, you know, in the way that, say, when you produce a text like the Cyberfeminist Index, you're kind of like producing like a field of knowledge just by making the book, and then like you kind of make a scene that, when you make a record, it kind of makes the scene that it would make sense within. And so if you make a different reworking of that, like, it's like a kind of like a time travel, like a split history kind of thing, like parallel worlds coming up where, like, what if this was the first version?
Yeah.
Or like, what if, you know, what if I built around this set of like sounds and feelings and interpretations of it?
Yeah.
It's like really exciting. It's a really exciting creative and generative project, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, and also the idea of reworking material is also kind of a critique of everything should be new constantly, which is not my belief that it should, but you can actually take a lot from what is already there and just make new stems from it, or just like, make another angle to it, or build on what is there already.
Which like also has the kind of like feminist critique of like, say, like the original, like original kind of like male genius kind of phallus thing. It's like, no, but we have a bunch of things we can give each other without having to be like the owners or masters of areas. Super fascinating. It's going to be, looking forward to the release.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anything else lined up?
Bearing in mind this will come out in March, so if it's... if it's happening in the next week or so, we can't really promote it via this medium.
From March onwards.
Start of April, I would say you can promote things from there on.
Yeah. So the cover album will be out maybe next year. I'll work on it for a long time.
Mm.
So right now I'm just going to have a release for the Limerence album and play some concerts here in Berlin, and then we have three releases at Rhizome this spring. Michelle Skau and Lau Andersen. Yeah. And maybe something else will pop up, but that was a little spoiler.
Right.
Right. Is there anything that, you know, that you, you wish that we'd asked you, which we haven't so far?
Wow. That's a good question. No, I think it has been really nice talking to you. I think we should do it next year and see what's up next year.
Yeah. Good job.
Okay, that sounds like a good. That's a good idea. Well, thanks so much, Aria, for talking to us.
Thank you for having me.
Passive Aggressive Conversations is a collaboration between The Lake Radio and Passive Aggressive. It's made possible by support from Two Book Funnel, Augustinus Foundation, the Danish Arts Foundation, and CODA. Our theme music was composed and produced by Simon Stina Ramazan Ali.